Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. What a blessing today is. This is not only the third Sunday after Epiphany, but today we are celebrating St. Titus Day. Now, what is that all about? Well, in the Lutheran Church, we don't pray to saints or worship saints, but we do occasionally on the church calendar have days when they fall on a Sunday that we recognize the lives of saints of the past, those who have gone before us, and the unique contributions that they have made to the church at large. St. Titus was a pastor who was at one time a companion of the Apostle Paul, and then he was placed in charge of the churches on the island of Crete, which is south of Greece in the Mediterranean Sea. And so we are going to learn a little bit more about who Titus was today, all with the goal of that pointing us even closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful that you're all here with us today. Also thankful that we have our children's choir, third through eighth grade children's choir up in the balcony. And we're looking forward to hearing them between our readings. How you doing, guys? And thank you to all the parents and grandparents who have brought them here to enhance our worship with song today. We, for our liturgy, we will be following Divine Service Setting 4, and that begins in your hymnal on page 203. I'll invite you to stand as we begin our worship together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I, therefore, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the inside cover of our bulletin, and there you will find the intro. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness to the assembly of the holy ones.
Blessed are the people who know the festal shout.
Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face.
Who exult in your name all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared,
I'm
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, which is printed again on the inside cover of your bulletin. We pray together. Almighty God, you called Titus to the work of pastor and teacher. Make all shepherds of your flock diligent in preaching your holy word, so that the whole world may know the immeasurable riches of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the Feast of St. Titus comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Free us, for walk the road to
Our epistle reading today is from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning we'll do so using the Apostles' Creed, and if you need the words, they are printed for you on page 207. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated, and at this time, I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. It is so nice to have you guys here today, and thank you, some of you older students that were singing just a little bit ago. You guys did a great job. Thank you so much. I was wondering how you guys are feeling about the weather these days. What do you think? Wes? Yay, nay?
Bad?
You want it to warm up? Okay. Oh, you'd rather the snow stick around. Oh, okay, I gotcha. All right, yeah, it melted a little bit more yesterday, right? It was a little bit warmer. But, you know, these last few weeks have been pretty cold, right? And when it's cold out, sometimes we can't do all the things that we like doing. And so, I don't know about you guys, but at our house, ever since Christmas, we have been playing board games a little bit more often recently. So, I actually brought one of the games. This is a game that I talked about this actually in the grown-up sermon a couple months ago. We kind of rediscovered this in the fall when we were on a trip, but Zoe got this for Christmas. Classic board game. This game is called what? Sorry. Have you guys ever played Sorry? Okay, yeah. So this game is not a very peaceful game, okay? It's called Sorry, but I don't think anybody who plays it is actually sorry about anything that happens in this game. This game, you are supposed to start. So let's say you're the blue color, right? So you put your pawn on start. See this big circle? It says start on it. And then you have to go all the way around the board, and eventually you make it to home. But there are all these things that can happen along the way where you can get bumped back to start by one of your opponents, and they're supposed to say sorry when that happens, but like I said, I don't think anybody's actually feeling very sorry. So I brought with me not just the board, but I also have a couple of the pawns. I brought a blue one and a red one, just to kind of show you a little bit how this works, and also in my pocket here, I've got a few of the cards. I didn't bring the whole deck, but I brought a few of the cards that you use to play the game. So in this game, you need to move the amount of spaces that it says on the card. I need to find the rest of my cards here. I think they fell down here. All right. So here's one problem in the game of Sorry, though. You can't get out of start unless you draw a specific number. Actually, there's two numbers you could draw that can get you out of start. Those numbers are what? Do you know? Not six. Actually, there is no six in a Sorry deck. We found that out. Do you know what numbers? One and two. And I brought a one, right? So if you draw this card, you draw one, you can go out of start. And there's all these other cards you can draw. You can get a 12 and go a whole bunch of spaces. You can go 5, you can go 3. If you get a 4, you have to move backwards. That's sometimes not very fun. But if at any point, let's say you're kind of hanging out right around here, and the red team comes around and lands here, they can slide. And what happens is, if you are right there in the middle of the slide, boom, you get bumped back to start. And that's not fun. There's also this other card. Can you guys read what that says? That says sorry. If you draw a sorry, you get to take one of your guys out of start, and you get to just bump somebody right off the board. And so if you have somebody who's really close to your home, you can go, boom, sorry, and now you get to go there. And if you're the one who gets bumped back to start, that doesn't make you feel very good, does it? That can actually make you feel very frustrated. There's a lot of times in a game of Sorry where you might feel really upset, really angry, right? Or at the very least, feeling kind of upset or frustrated. Maybe we'll just use the word frustrated. But there's a lot of things that are not very peaceful about this game. So here's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. If we think of our lives as being kind of like this board game, Let's pretend that this is actually you. So you kind of go around each day and you draw a new card every day. So some days, maybe you go a little bit. Some days, you go kind of further. Some days, maybe you have a bad day and you kind of move backwards a little bit. And some days, maybe you have somebody who gets you really, really upset and it feels like they've taken your spot in life. And that can be really frustrating because you just kind of get bumped right off the board and it feels like nobody even cares. But let me tell you something that's really, really great. Our Lord Jesus changes everything about the way that we play this game that we call life. As we go around the board in life, we know that because Jesus is on our side, he actually changes the way that the rules work. Jesus has lived a perfect life for us. He has died on the cross for us. He has risen from the dead for us. He takes all of our sins away. And so even when the worst thing that could ever happen to us, even if that were to happen, even if we were to get bumped right off the board, even if we were to pass away someday, we don't go back to start. With Jesus, we actually get to go home. Now, where is home for us as Christians? Abe, heaven is our home. That's right. So we might live in a house here on earth, right? And we call that home. But for our souls, we get to live forever in heaven. And Jesus has changed the rules so that we never have to worry about getting bumped back to start. We know that we always get to go home. That is such a blessing, and that is what actually brings us peace. Even when we're having a really bad day, even when something bad happens in our lives, we can still have the peace of knowing that we get to go home. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, and we're going to learn in a little bit in the sermon about somebody named Saint Titus. And I want you guys to listen closely for how Jesus changes everything for him and for all of us too. But we're going to say a prayer right now. If you guys could fold your hands and bow your heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your promise that we get to go home. Help us to have peace every day on earth. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much for coming up today. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And we will continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today actually is going to come from two of our readings. I know in the bulletin it mentions the first reading from Acts chapter 20, but since this is St. Titus Day, we also need to talk about the second reading from the book of Titus chapter 1. And in both of these readings, what Paul is doing is he is preparing for a transition in ministry. As Paul's ministry personally is coming to an end, he is kind of handing things off to the next generation. And of course, transitions, no matter where they come, no matter what parts of life we're in, they're always filled with kinds of difficulties and challenges along the way. But in these particular transitions in ministry, these are done in Christ. And so because of that, there is no fear. There is peace that comes from the Lord. We give thanks for that. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so last Monday, a whole bunch of us got to watch as one presidential administration left the White House in Washington, D.C., and a new presidential administration took the reins. I didn't look up the numbers, but I'm kind of assuming that more people were available to watch the inauguration than usual because it just so happened that Inauguration Day fell on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And so I know there were a lot of people who were home from work or from school that day. So I don't know if you got to watch everything as it took place, but generally speaking, what the nation got to witness on Monday was this thing that we have called over the years a peaceful transition of power. And this is something that Americans over the last 225 years or so have considered to be one of the hallmarks of our country. This is something that is really important. If we're going to have a nation like the one that we have, if we're going to have a government like the one that we have to have these peaceful transitions of power every once in a while. And the first time that this really came to the forefront was back in 1801 when we had a transition between our second president, John Adams, and our third president, Thomas Jefferson. And in those days, those two individuals were considered political enemies of one another. And so it was really important that John Adams was willing to peacefully step aside so that Thomas Jefferson and his administration could come in and take over, that he was able to transition that power to somebody that John Adams didn't believe was the best person for the job at that time. And yet, that in the infancy of our country's history was really important. It set this precedent, it set this example, and now here we are all these years later, and this still continues to be part of our tradition as a nation. Obviously, that being said, it hasn't always gone that smoothly and that peacefully. I think a lot of us remember that the world felt a lot different just 4 years ago, and the sermon is not the place to rehash all of those details, and so I'm definitely not going to do that. But even with all of the relative unrest that was taking place in those days, and we were in the middle of COVID and all of those things, we still have to say that in the end, peace did prevail. The country did not devolve into some terrible civil war. The United States is still intact. We are still one nation under God, indivisible, etc., etc. I know this isn't anybody's favorite topic, and so I just want to say one more thing about this, and then I'll move on to something better. But what we witnessed on Monday, this thing that we are calling peaceful, I would say is at best a surface level kind of peace. Like it's a manufactured peace. Let's just be honest. It's fake peace. It's what it is. If you're just watching as the events unfold, you can just see it. I noticed it on the faces of people who were participating all throughout the day. Like, and it can be just little moments too. Like when the Trumps arrive at the White House and they greet the Bidens, or also when the Vances arrive and they greet the Harrises, then they kind of force them to all do this like photo bomb together, and they got this awkward smile on their face. You can just tell. It's just kind of fake and awkward. Later, when everybody's kind of filing into the Capitol Rotunda, and you've got all these lawmakers and justices, and you've got past presidents from both sides of the aisle, and you know that they don't agree with each other fundamentally, and yet they've got to sit next to each other in really close quarters, and they've got to fake it, right? They've got these looks on their faces. When President Trump makes his speech, right? And he's talking about how his administration is going to do things a lot differently and how terrible the last 4 years have been from his point of view. And 5 feet away from him is the previous president, right? And so it's peaceful, sure, but it's awkward. It's peaceful, but it's the kind of peace that kind of makes you cringe, kind of makes you squirm a little bit, you know, like the way you're feeling right now, because the pastor's talking about this in the pulpit on Sunday, right? It's just, it's kind of peaceful, but it's kind of not. So, okay, so we can move on from that. But in contrast to that sort of peace, let's focus on a different kind of peaceful transition. And it's the kind that can and should exist among us as Christians. And we've been the ones doing this for, well, a lot longer than the United States has ever been in existence. The peaceful transition of ministry. And this is actually one of the themes that comes out on a day like St. Titus Day, because when you start talking about people like St. Titus, and then also I would put St. Timothy in that category as well, but these people represent this first moment in the history of the early church when the ministry needed to transition from one group to another. This moment where you have St. Paul, whose well-known and well-documented Herculean efforts to spread the gospel all over the known Greek world, all of a sudden that ministry was coming to an end toward the second half of the first century, and now the young pups are taken over, and they're building upon this foundation that was laid by Paul and Barnabas and Silas and people like this in towns and cities all over the Greek world. We have two really great examples of what that transition looked like and felt like in our readings today. So I want to talk about both of them briefly. I'm going to start by talking about Titus because, well, it's his day, so we can start with that one. In Titus chapter 1, now, there's a whole lot that we could say about the ministry of St. Titus, but the thing that you really need to know is that there was a huge difference between Titus and Paul, because Paul was Jewish, and, I mean, that in itself is an understatement. Paul had been once upon a time trained as a Pharisee. He was like extra Jewish. I mean, he really was well-versed in Israel's culture and in their tradition. Meanwhile, Titus was a Greek Gentile. It was the exact opposite of Paul. Titus was raised to worship like a Greek pagan, to worship all the false gods of Mount Olympus, right? Like Zeus and Hermes and Poseidon and all these kinds of other gods. And so then it wasn't until later on when Titus actually met Paul, actually got to hear the gospel, actually believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they come from two completely different worlds. They have two completely different approaches to ministry because of their backgrounds. And so it's interesting because so much of Paul's ministry was focused on this big debate between Jew and Gentile. One of the biggest stumbling blocks as Paul was doing ministry among the Jews was the fact that the Jews had been raised to believe that there is one chosen people of God only, and that's Israel, and that's it. And so it's really an interesting decision that with all of that in mind, Paul gives this really important position of ministry to Titus. He puts Titus in charge of all of the churches on the island of Crete, which was a place where there were Jewish communities well established for a long time in all of the major cities and towns. And yet Paul hands the reins to this uncircumcised Gentile, knowing that this would be a very, very difficult ministry, knowing that things might have gone easier if Paul himself was the one doing the job, but it was time to transition to somebody new. And so Paul had to trust in the Lord, as he says in the second verse of this letter to Titus. He's doing this in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Paul is trusting that the peace of Christ is going to sustain Titus through a very, very difficult season of ministry. And then we have this other text to consider, this first reading from Acts chapter 20. And this one doesn't really involve Titus, but it does involve this idea of the transition of ministry. This time, Paul is talking with the overseers, as it says. These are the pastors of the congregations that are gathering together in and around the city of Ephesus. And this all took place as Paul was heading back toward Jerusalem at the tail end of his third missionary journey. And at that time, the big thing that was on Paul's mind was he had been collecting this offering for the poor, struggling Christians who were living in Judea, and he was really interested in delivering these offerings to them. But along the way, he wanted to take a stop, take a little detour, and visit with some of the people that he had known back when he had lived in Ephesus. He wanted to see these Ephesians together again, and he had been with them for about 3 years earlier. So he really knew these people very well. He knew their ministry very well. He knew the challenges that they faced there. He mentions a few of them right here in the text. He says that fierce wolves are going to come in and try to destroy the flock. He says that men will arise from within the church and try to teach twisted things. In other words, Paul knows that just like with Titus's ministry on Crete, Paul knows that here in Ephesus, this ministry is going to be difficult and challenging. It's a very difficult transition. And frankly, Paul knows that it's going to take somebody like himself to be able to navigate it successfully. So you could imagine a world where Paul could have, in his pride, decided that he was the only person who was right for the job, and then he would maybe abandon this mission to go to Jerusalem and deliver these offerings to the Christians there, that maybe Paul could have decided that he was going to stay in Ephesus, that he would take up the reins once again, that he would be the one to lead the church there. But no, that's not what he did. He peacefully hands this ministry to the next generation of pastors. He says in verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Paul trusted that the Lord would take care of them, even if he personally wasn't there to oversee it anymore. So, what can these peaceful transitions in ministry say to us today? Honestly, I think this is pretty simple. We in the church have every reason to believe that as the world continues to change, and as the church, therefore, continues to find new ways to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, as faithful members of older generations gradually step back and step away, and faithful members of younger generations then step into those roles, because we know that we are one in Christ, even though we know that there are difficulties in the transition, we know and trust that Christ will always lead us in the way of peace. And when I say peace, I mean true peace. Not this fake, awkward, cringy kind of peace. where you just kind of slap a smile on your face outwardly, but internally it's killing you that the person who's taking the job that you used to have isn't doing it the right way, is doing things differently than you would do them. Or sometimes, as Lutherans are known to say from time to time, we've never done it that way before. When we remember that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church and that he is also the Prince of Peace, we step back and look at how from the days of Paul and Titus until now, the Lord has overseen every single ministry transition that there has ever been and has faithfully sustained us for the last 2,000 years now and counting. When we further come to the realization that the entire nature of the gospel itself is that Jesus wasn't content to leave things the way that they were, and that's why he came to this world. That's why he died on the cross, to take away our sins. That when change is done in Christ, when it is led by the Savior of mankind, change is always good news for God's people. And if we come to that realization, then suddenly it doesn't bother us so much when we do have the occasional transition in ministry. When we have to say goodbye to one era and we have to say hello to another. Because Jesus doesn't change things just for the sake of changing them. When Jesus changes things, he literally is bringing heaven to earth. He is bringing light to those who dwell in the darkness. He's bringing salvation to those whose souls need rescuing. He's bringing life to those who are dead in their sins and trespasses. And I think that's the kind of stuff we're all interested in, aren't we? And so, if that's the case, then let's try not to let our sinful natures get in the way of some of these amazing things that God is doing among us. When there are opportunities for growth and transition, when new ideas are presented, when different people want to be part of our church and part of our school and get involved, I know that sometimes these things sound scary, but let's resist that temptation to just dig in our heels and be afraid of what we think we might lose in some kind of ministry transition. We already know what the challenges are. We've been dealing with them, in a way, for almost 158 years here in Hoyleton. But like Paul, we can trust the Lord to raise up Tituses that we need, both now and into the future. We give thanks that we know that he always will. He will until the day when we all make our last and final peaceful transition, the one to our home in his eternal kingdom. And so thanks be to God, and may God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, I do have a few updates for you. We give thanks to God today for the birth of Rand Alexander Brahmeyer. That's the newborn son of Adam and Shane Brahmeyer. Rand was born on Thursday, and mom and baby are doing great. We also give thanks for the wedding of Michael and Melissa Meyer. Michael is Tina Hannenberger's brother, and they were united in marriage here at Trinity yesterday afternoon. Also, we will continue to pray for Bob Brink today, and he will be having a heart valve replaced tomorrow at Barnes in St. Louis. And so we pray for safe travel and for a safe and healthy procedure for him. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have arisen to show mercy to our fallen world and set us free from sin and death. In you, the appointed time of favor has come for all people. Cause your name to be declared among all peoples, that your grace may not be rejected in our time, but received with delight in every place. Give us eagerness to hear your word with understanding, that our days may be sanctified and your commandments put into practice among us. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle. Sustain them through this time of pastoral vacancy, and if it be your will, quickly lead them to the man you have chosen to serve them as their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, giver of the Holy Spirit, you bless your servants with a variety of gifts. Grant that each of us may use these gifts for the common good of your people. Thank you for all of your blessings in this earthly life, including all of those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Devin, Marilyn, Jeannie, Braxton, Dale, Jacob, Atlee, and Kelsey. And we especially praise you this day for the birth of Rand Alexander Brahmeyer and ask you to be with him and his family as he grows, and that you would lead him to the waters of holy baptism. We also rejoice over the gift of Christian marriage. We especially lift before you Michael and Melissa Meyer, who were married here yesterday. Bless them in the years to come and help them to grow in faith toward you and love toward each other. Lord, in your mercy, give wisdom and courage to all who govern our communities and country, that they may lead well, following your will rather than man's whims. Grant us willingness to support them with our prayers and encouragement. Be with all who serve in the armed forces of this land, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and compassionate Lord, as our great physician, mend the bodies and uplift the spirits of all who are in need, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift Bob before your throne as he undergoes his heart valve replacement tomorrow. We pray that all would go well with him. And we also ask you, Lord, to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Don, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Greg, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jeff, Nancy, Virgil, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. By the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. And our closing hymn is one more time, our hymn of the month for January, number 570, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you once again to our children's choir and Mrs. Tiemann for directing them. We really appreciate you guys for being here today. And if you missed last week, I'm doing something new where I'm only announcing three things every Sunday. This is my Trinity top three for this week, okay? Number one, today is our annual voters meeting. So this is the big one, and we hope our voters will come and join us later today at 1 o'clock this afternoon right here in the sanctuary. It's an important meeting because it's the one where we get to elect new officers and board members for the upcoming year of ministry. And so we talk about peaceful ministry transitions. We get to see that every year right here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. In addition to that, there will be reports and other decisions to make about the ministry in general. And so we really hope our voters will come and join us later this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Number two, our friends at Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle are having their pork chop dinner today. So if you need a place to eat before you come to the annual voters meeting, you can head to Carlisle anytime from now until 1:30 for $15. You can dine in, carry out, or drive through at Messiah in Carlisle. And lastly, number three, there is a flyer in your bulletin. It is time to start thinking about our upcoming wine and beer tasting, which will take place on March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. We need sponsors. We need auction items. We need people who are planning to just come and be a part of it. So please put that on your calendar. We'd love to have you there. Mr. Schaff, it is time for your school minute.
All right, I would also like to thank Mrs. Tiemann for directing and for Mrs. Karis Meyer for playing the piano and our third through eighth graders for singing. Can we give them a hand, please? I think they did a nice job. You guys, come on up. Come on up, please. All right, I have some students to help me this morning. But as they're coming up here, National Lutheran Schools Week starts today. Trinity here in Hoyleton. We are one of 1,800 Lutheran schools all across the United States, have tens, hundreds of thousands of students. We are blessed to have our school. And the students here have a few words to share with you. They have volunteered, first of all. I think so. Okay, thank you. And no, willingly. I said, who wants to? So they would like to share with you what they're thankful for in our Lutheran school here at Trinity in Trent.
I am thankful for the wonderful staff that has guided through the 10 years that I've been here.
I am thankful for that through the all 11 years I've been here, I have made such amazing friends, and me, my classmates, and I get to delve deeper into God's word each and every day.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because we get to sing, learn about Jesus, play with our friends, and we get to pray for our classmates when they're sick.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because of the teachers, because they're so kind.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because we get the most amazing teachers, principal, and classrooms.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because I have learned a lot about how Jesus is our Savior and is with me always.
I am thankful for the Lord and my Lutheran school because we have good teachers and a good school, and they are teaching us about God, which most schools do not teach us about God, and we have a church that gives us more responsibilities like singing on Sunday, Christmas program, and chapel.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because I have great teachers and I get to talk and learn about God, and some schools don't at all. I also like that we have chapel on Wednesdays, and I get to come to school with my mom.
I thank the Lord for my Lutheran school because I get to do all kinds of different things like PE, math, science, and reading. Also, all the teachers are really nice. So is our principal. I know that lots of different kids like to learn.
All right, thank you guys, I appreciate it. Didn't they do a nice job? Especially, I did not pay them at all, okay? So. Their own volition there. All right. Also, one or two other things real quickly. Our National Lutheran Schools Week, we have tons of things going on this next week, and that went home in the annual report, along with a note you may have gotten from one of our students. Tomorrow morning, starting at 6:15 a.m., the faculty is going to cook breakfast. We're going to make scrambled eggs, pancakes, some of them with chocolate chips in them, and we're going to have biscuits and gravy with sausage and juice and all kinds of stuff. So if you've never been to our breakfast, just come. It's at 6:15. Go there before work, and it goes until 8:15 or so. And it's free, but we are doing a free will offering to raise money for our faculty convention if you want to. Also, I think that's about it. One other thing. Sorry, this is a PSA, public service announcement. After church today, we need about 15 tables set up and chairs. So if you got about 10 minutes, we could use your help with that. So Lord's blessings on your day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Thank you, students. Are there any other things to announce today? Yes?
No chimes until February 10th.
No chimes until February 10th. It has been decreed. Any other announcements today? All right. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you at 1 o'clock. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.